Hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, back from family vacation. Yes, believe it or not, I went on vacation from this job of doing a radio show about scuba diving. So, as I posted on my Facebook page earlier this week, as I just got back from vacation, now time to go diving. I know it sounds a little awkward, and you know, but hey, if you're me, that's just what you do. So I went about as far away from diving as you can go for a vacation. I went to Dollywood and Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. Celebrate the July 4th holiday, and still had a great time. And I, you know, I'd give Dollywood two big buoys up or something. And I think you get my gist. Actually, the shows were good. I'd give it a nice little review. I was surprised. I didn't think it'd be much, but it was actually quite entertaining. And, you know, didn't do any diving, but I did hang out with some family friends. And had a little family reunion, and we talked a little bit about some of my diving adventures and shared that with the family. And I'm getting ready to actually certify some of my family to learn how to dive. So you're going to be hearing about that in the coming weeks. Matter of fact, today, Captain Patrick from the World of Boating is going to be doing a couple quizzes while we do the show. Is that right, Patrick? Are you ready?
No.
No, he's not ready. Which means we're going to do it anyway. So we may put him through his Paddy Open Water Course quiz 1 and 2. He's ready for this. I think it was Dennis. Let me pull up this email that Dennis sent me while I was away on family break. And he's had the same thing where he's had a family member or two get certified. And, oh man, I don't know if I can dig out all these notes. I got a lot. A lot came in while I was on break there, Bill. You hear what I'm saying? But Dennis, one of our super fans, he emailed some comment to the effect of, my daughter started her diving class long after Captain Patrick did, and she's already certified.
So what in the name of great googly mooglies going on with you, Greg, is what he's saying?
He says, I don't mean to rub it in, but she got certified faster than Captain Patrick. So I think what she was saying is that Captain Patrick's a little slow. I think that's what he was trying to allude.
I don't think that that's exactly
yeah,
the
message.
Yeah,
no, I think that's his.
No.
That is.
No, I don't think he gets to determine the pace.
No, he does. You know, I had to slow it down for
you
him.
You called me the other day on the phone, and I said, look, it's Greg. He's probably calling me to tell me when we're going to get into the pool with Captain Patrick.
Yeah.
Instead, you called to say, hey, Bill, you know those dive trips that go on all the time? Here's another one you can't go on.
No, I did not say that. And we're gonna clarify that today with Captain Clay from Explorer Adventures. Because he did. He sprung another trip or two on me as soon as I got back from Dollywood. And what I do, I call up Bill. I said, Bill, you want to go? Here's another opportunity. Oh, man, you're killing me. You're killing me, Greg. I gave you 2 weeks to pick from, Bill, didn't I? Come on, fess up.
You only gave me the one.
Did I only give you one?
You only gave me the one.
Well, there were two, but it doesn't matter. But we'll talk about that and then some. But and we'll cover Captain Patrick's progress as we attempt to make some on the show today. But first, The Scuba Cowboy is on the phone. He's been traveling, too. He wasn't on a family vacation like me in Dollywood. He may have had a little bit more fun. I don't know.
A little bit more fun?
In Utila.
A little bit more fun?
Yeah, in Utila.
He's busy stomping out forest fires at his house.
No, he left that place a long time ago. Right, Pup? How are you, buddy?
I'm absolutely fantastic, as always, man.
So you were in Utila at the Utila Dive Festival while I was in Dollywood. Isn't that pretty much the game? I mean, how was it? Tell us. What'd you see? Cool critters?
It was absolutely awesome. It's the second year. You know, they just kicked it off last year. So I felt, of course, very honored to be able to open and close the show again and pretty much, stay busy diving and, pat in hands and socializing and seeing everything that Utila has to offer. It's kind of a really laid-back place, just if you just want to hang out. I mean, you can sit there and drink, rum and Coke all night for a buck and a quarter. You can't complain about that.
What?
Yeah. You know what? It's not that big of a deal to open and close a show. I cannot tell you how many times I've showed up and they've said, "We're closing!"
Yeah, I don't think that's what happens with them, though.
Oh.
TheScubaCowboy.com, by the way. Check out where Pup's going to be and pick up his CDs there. So were you inspired for some more tunes, more scuba, themed ditties there while you're diving in Utila or what there, Pup?
Absolutely. In fact, I basically debuted one of the songs that I wrote that I was inspired by last year. It's called the Utila Chilla, which is on the Going Down CD. They all loved it, ate that up totally. It's kind of a reggae type of tune, basically talking about Utila and all the cool things that it has to do there. One of the really coolest things, if you never do anything else, if you don't get there and see this is like one of those you need to put on your bucket list, is you need to go see the Tree Tannic, which is literally a bar up in a tree. I don't think that would fly real good with OSHA over here in the States, but down there, it's like the coolest place in the world. It looks like Swiss Family Robinson, only it's a bar.
So you're saying it's a death trap that they wouldn't allow here in the States, but when you're in Utila, you ought to take that challenge and make it part of your adventure.
I'm saying if you have a drinking buddy that you want to get rid of, that's the place to do it. Sure.
Okay, which explains why the rum and Cokes are only a buck and a quarter, maybe. I don't know.
Exactly.
No, that
They're
sounds
only
like
a dollar and a quarter for you, Greg. Everybody else
now follow
six
us.
Bucks.
Follow us. Make sure you pay your bar tab first, though. All right, but you start that tab. Give us your credit card. Yeah, no, but I mean the diving there. Utila's known, I know, for whale sharks, but that's only at certain times of the year, and that wasn't the time you were there. I guess, is that right, Pup, or what?
Yeah, they are. They're actually known as kind of the whale shark capital of the Caribbean. But at that particular time, no. I didn't see any. They said they had seen some just like 2 weeks earlier. But, of course, we got steam involved these last time, so that was awesome.
Yeah, the Jimmy Buffett of big fish. Is that what you're saying, Bill?
Yeah, whale sharks are the Jimmy Buffett. They were here
last
weekend.
Yeah, you shouldn't have been here last week. That kind of thing. Yeah, well, it happens. And
it's beautiful, very pristine diving, real nice white sands. It's pretty.
Nice easy diving, too, right? Pretty easy.
It
to
is
kinda...
very easy. There's virtually no current anywhere. Yeah. I mean, just none. Zip. And so, it's all, nothing's real deep. You might go 80, 90 foot, but most of the stuff you're going to see is nice 60, 70 foot. A lot of, they got little, seahorses and the pipe horses. I don't know if you've seen those. They look like a seahorse, only more like a little pencil. Little tiny thing. So a lot of macro stuff down there. Really cool to see.
Got it. And easy to get to, too, isn't it? Or did you fly straight into Utila, or you fly into Roatan and then go, or what'd you do? How did you get there?
This time I flew into Roatan and then took a puddle jumper over to Utila. I've also gone the other way and gone to the mainland first and San Pedro Sula and then over in a puddle jumper. They even have a ferry that runs over there, so that's really reasonable, but I don't remember exactly what times. But yeah, it's pretty simple to get to. It's just a little tiny island, about 6 miles, something like that. But it's real pretty and definitely worth the diving. They have not been inundated with the lionfish near as bad as like Roatan, which is only like 30 miles away. I can't figure that one out. But
interesting. Well, did
they just keep them in check?
Yeah. Well, that could be the case. You just never know. Maybe
they're lucky. I helped them on that front. I definitely we cooked a few of the ones I managed to get rid of.
Yeah, you found a few yourself and snagged them for everybody on the island there?
I always do. Oh, yeah, always.
Nice. Now, Bill was ecstatic. He goes, oh, my God, he mentioned Roatan. I've been there.
Well, I've been to Utila, too. I suddenly realized I've been to Utila. I said, you know, it sounds so familiar, and he's talking about things I've seen, and I suddenly realized that for once we're talking to somebody that's been to a place that I've been.
And you've been banned ever since.
We're almost like brothers now,
we're
Bill.
We're like brothers.
Okay.
Brothers from another mother or something, right?
It was like 8-9 years ago, but we went and we stayed on Roatan,
right.
And then we had a liveaboard. That was neat.
Yeah.
Awesome. It was fun.
I vaguely remember missing the dinghy back to the liveaboard boat and having to swim. But that was kind of in a fog of those, you know, buck and a quarter rum and cokes, if you know what I'm saying. Anyway, more coming up on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Stay close.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explorer Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures, and just maybe why Explorer Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExplorerVentures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
Here at Scuba Radio, we've been fans of Force Fins for years. With over 12 styles and just about every color imaginable, Force Fins are in a league of their own. Now, they aren't the biggest company out there, just the best. So sometimes Force Fins are hard to find. That's why we've made the whole line of Force Fins available on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Order yourself a pair today, and they'll be delivered right to your door and be ready for your next dive. That's the merchandise page at scubaradio.com.
You are a diver and have the Dive Flag shirt, hat, and bumper sticker to prove it. However, you can share your love of diving and ascend to a higher level with Dive Silver. Combining exquisite sterling silver with gemstones, Dive Silver is the perfect way to share your passion for the underwater world. From mantis to mermaids and everything in between, you'll find something truly unique to express your love of diving in the extensive line of Dive Silver jewelry and at an affordable price. Go to DiveSilver.com and see for yourself. That's DiveSilver.com.
Hi, this is Bob Talbot, marine photographer and filmmaker. You're listening to Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. And now, here's a guy with a perfect face for radio, and God knows I know what I'm talking about, Greg the Dive Master.
Well, thanks, Bob, I think. Not sure. I don't really remember how to take that. But I still like his work. Bob Talbot, world-class marine photographer. You know, have you seen the ads for Bad Time to Be a Seal Week or something? I don't know. Have you seen this? Bad Time to Be a Seal Week is coming to the Discovery Channel here beginning of August. So, yeah, a little play on Shark Week. That's been that definitely started popping up big time while I was out on my little vacation. Not to mention Sharknado. Where the heck did that come from? Did that, Bill, I don't know. Did that air, this show that was on Sci-Fi, did that actually air over the July 4th holiday or something? Is that what happened?
It aired over this week, yes.
So Sharknado, or NATO, depending on how you say
like
it.
Like tornado.
You say NATO, I say NATO.
I say NODO.
Yeah, I mean, it's hilarious. I posted
no,
this.
No, it's not.
That is the craziest, outrageous
horrible.
Shark movie I have ever seen in my life. I thought Sharktopus, was ridiculous, but this is like takes it to a whole nother level. And I had to post this up on the Scuba Radio Facebook page because it's just so outrageous. I mean, there's nothing. I mean, you can't argue that this is bad PR for sharks. They're saying sharks are attacking people from tornadoes or some crap. Oh, my God. That is insane. But it's insanely funny. I mean, I actually thought that was, you know, twisted and so outrageous that you can't really, you can't knock it for being bad PR for sharks, can you?
Well, this is not...
This isn't like a Jaws-type movie that's going to give sharks another bad name.
Water.
Right, or some, sensationalized thing. This is so outrageous, there's no basis.
Sharks attack people on land.
Right, out of tornadoes, which is cool, and maybe could happen.
No.
No, it couldn't happen?
No.
I don't know.
No.
No. But it is crazy. And I haven't seen anybody saying that this is like, the dilemma you have with Shark Week, which we've talked about, many times over the last few years at least, about how I'm very conflicted about Shark Week now. Because, they do try to put an environmental spin on Shark Week when you watch it. But all the teasing promos and things like this make Shark Week... I have a lot of tendency to go towards the media hype and, shark
Summer
attacks.
Of the shark.
Exactly. Now, this thing they're doing with the seals, I think, is kind of funny. If they kept with that kind of thing, maybe they're going to take a different tack, but I doubt it. As we get closer to Shark Week, I'm sure we're going to start seeing, reports or teasers about, don't go in the water or, that kind of thing.
Don't go in the water if you're a seal.
Right.
Or a sea lion.
Don't go near a tornado.
Or a penguin.
Yeah.
Or Danny DeVito.
Bad to be a seal week. I kind of like that. I got to give him credit for that one, too. But the dilemma is, or I guess my point I'm making is that the Sharknado thing isn't the same thing as like the problem you may or may not have with Shark Week or a Jaws-type movie that's just sensationalistic crap that the mass media or public might be fooled into believing there's some basis in fact in it. You hear what I'm saying? It's so over the top. No one's going to think there's sharks coming out of tornadoes. So there's nothing. There's no negative thing with sharks with that. Do you think? No, Bill. He's like going, "Uh-oh, are you kidding?"
Twister 3. This time it's squid.
Okay. Anyway. So you're just not...
Twister 17. This time it's carpenter ants.
I haven't seen Sharknado, the movie. I have not seen it. I just saw the trailer. I put it up on the Facebook page for you to look at. I think it's ridiculous, but ridiculously funny. And a twisted kind of, what kind of drug-induced coma, came up with this?
Twister 4. Piranha-nado. Piranha-nado.
You think? I don't know. I don't know. All right. Well, so we got Captain Patrick working on his open water diver course, his Patty open water diver course. I am a dive instructor, even though I go by Greg the Dive Master on Scuba Radio. I am a certified Patty dive instructor, believe it or not. And we have been going over his knowledge reviews. And I told him after my little family break there at Dollywood that we're going to hunker down and get him in the pool and get him on his way to getting his certification. And so I called him up yesterday, Bill.
Yesterday?
Yeah.
The Friday before the Saturday.
Well, and what he did, we've been going over the knowledge reviews because what they do in the Patty Open Water course, they break it up into 5 modules. And you read the module or a chapter, let's say, and at the end of the chapter, there's like a 10-question knowledge review, which goes over.
Which we've been doing on the air.
Yeah, we've been going over those, and we've kind of covered a few of those on and off. But at the end of that, or during the course of that, there's also quizzes. And I told him, I said, why don't you come on in? We'll go through some of the quizzes. He goes, quizzes? What do you mean quizzes? We got to do another quiz? So he didn't realize that there's actually a quiz. So he's actually doing the quizzes. Right now, he's gonna. I got him going on Chris 1 and 2, which are kind of they kind of sync up with.
He feels happy about it because he's in the perfect studying, test taking environment.
Yes.
sitting in an open studio room right next to people talking about him taking the test.
Yeah, no pressure. No pressure at all. But, man, here's the thing. The quizzes are,
I thought it was weird,
are not
though.
Pass or fail.
They're
what?
Not.
No. No.
The thing which I thought was weird was every time he thinks he gets a wrong answer, he's supposed to take off an article of clothing. That was just a weird... Is that something that you've always done?
That's something we incorporated when we started working with the mermaids.
Ah.
But I forgot to kind of put that,
take that direction
take that
off.
Module off.
Yeah.
In time for his thing. So let's hope he does really well.
Well, so far, four questions. And he's not wearing socks.
Hey. Anyway, so we'll see how he does. But no, on the quizzes, it's... You know, there's about 10 questions for each quiz. I think that's what it is. I think it is 10 questions thereabouts. Okay.
It's 10.
So, and...
The first thing he did was count the number of questions.
Just like the knowledge reviews, we're going to go through them, but all we have to do is just go through, now that he's kind of went through the chapter, reviewed them a little bit, the quizzes are just set to reinforce that a little bit without any, you know, he has to do this from memory now.
Right, because originally that he's learned when you did the knowledge reviews,
that's, you can refer
go back
back
into the book and get to know the information. So
right.
Now we're finding out if it's something he locked into long-term storage because, quite honestly, with the first knowledge review, I believe, was in 2008.
No, that's not true. It was within the last 12 months. That's all I can say. But the thing is, if he gets one wrong, all we have to do is go over it. We don't have to pass or fail him. But, of course, we'll probably do that on our show just for the, you know, for the fun of it, right?
The yucks and hee-haws.
Yes, those.
Scuba Radio.
Scuba.
Scuba Radio.
First radio show devoted to diving. Coming up, we have a damn good diving safety tip on evacuations, what you need to know in case you have a problem. It's really good information. That's coming up momentarily on the big show. And hopefully we're going to check in with Big Wave Dave from the Be a Diver Pool. He's on tour today somewhere across the country. And if that weren't enough, we're going to find out about a unique dive that I heard about a few months ago. And Yellowstone National Park, which I didn't even know you could dive there, but supposedly there's some place where you can dive this site called the Fire Hole. That's what the locals are calling it. It sounds quite unique or different, and, well, we're going to get the lowdown on the big show today. So that's coming up, as well as Captain Patrick's progress. Now, what I was thinking, Bill, yeah, what I was saying right before the break there, that Patrick is going to do these quizzes, and it's not a pass or fail on the quiz. If he misses a question or two, it's not a problem. We just go over and make sure he knows that information. And he understands, like, okay, I missed it. This is why. This is what it should have been. That kind of thing. We're not going to do the typical mermaid process where, yeah, they lose an article of clothing if they get a question wrong. Actually, it's the other way. If they get it right, they usually, we've made out pretty good over the last few years. So with Patrick, we've hooked him up to a taser. So I think we're going to use a little Pavlovian dog type of setup. If he gets something wrong, it'll send like an electric shock through him. Or, ow! They're just testing the taser on me to just see if it works. It works. So that's what we'll add into our little mix on his way to becoming a paddy open water diver. So either that'll work, or it'll at least amuse us immensely as we progress through the show today. So we have that to come up on. And, you know, and if you're a diver or if you're not, you'll get a little glimpse of what goes into becoming a paddy open water diver as we cover Captain Patrick's progress or shock therapy here on the big show today. That's coming up. Stay close.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network. Your surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Scuba Radio safety tip number 33. Remember, everything underwater appears about 25% larger when looking through a dive mask.
Hey, this is great, man.
Stop looking there. Stop looking there.
I want to be just like you.
Stop that!
I figure all I need's a lobotomy and some tights.
Ooh, you're sick. So now, here's a Dan safety tip you can really use.
And yes, that means it's time for the real Dan Good Diving safety tip. And here with us today, Nick Bird, CEO and Chief Medical Officer for Divers Alert Network. I have a question today, Nick. I think you're just the man to answer it to.
Well, I'll do my best.
What if you were the dive leader of a group and you had to coordinate an emergency evacuation? What would a person have to know?
Wow, what a great question. That's a scenario everyone hopes they never face, but it's a good thing to be prepared to do. Fortunately, there are protocols you can follow just like any other emergency situation. And I'll bet as a dive leader yourself, you already know them.
Well, I hope so, but let's go through it just the same.
Okay. So let's say you had a diver surface in need of assistance. What's the first thing you would do?
Assess the scene, make sure there's no danger to me, and help get the diver out of the water.
Good. You are absolutely right that the first step is to assess the scene. And a lot of folks forget that in the heat of the moment and end up putting themselves in danger. You really do not want to do anything that would put yourself into harm's way, and it can result in two emergencies to deal with instead of one. So you've assessed the scene. What's next?
Assess the diver in distress. And provide basic life support and first aid. Then I'd either dispatch someone to contact emergency services, or if I'm alone, contact them myself.
Excellent. Top of the class. Now let's say an evacuation will be necessary.
Are we on land or out at sea?
Let's start with a land-based scenario.
Am I alone or with a group?
You have other divers on site.
Okay. I've had someone call EMS, so I'm going to have the second person call Dan to help with the assistance. Once we get help mobilized, I'm going to have someone meet the emergency crew at a designated point while I remain with the diver and continue providing first aid.
That is exactly right. Communication is the key in an emergency situation. So when you're calling EMS and Dan, it's important not only to let them know where you are, but where the rendezvous point will be. If you're on a site that can't be accessed by emergency services, you'll need to coordinate with them on how the diver will be transported to a pickup site.
But if you have the option of not moving the diver,
then it's best to stay where you are and let EMS come to you.
Now, what if I'm alone?
Stay in contact with EMS or Dan, whoever you have on the line. Again, communication is key, so stay in contact as much as possible while providing whatever care is needed. If you are alone, you're going to be dealing with a lot all at once. So just remember to tend to the injured person. If the diver needs immediate assistance, whether it's CPR or some other form of first aid, it's okay to tell the emergency contact what's going on and that you'll have to put the phone down. Just keep the connection if at all possible.
I'm also hoping they'll provide some guidance.
And they will. When you contact EMS or Dan, you're contacting experts in dealing with emergency situations. They will be a resource in guiding you through the situation. If nothing else, having them involved reminds you that you are not alone.
Which can mean a lot and keep you from panicking.
Yes, it can.
So what if the emergency isn't at a land-based site? What if you're out at sea?
Any protocol passengers will have to follow on a boat should be established long before it leaves the dock. If you're traveling with a captain and crew, it's unlikely you'll have to take the lead, but you should be prepared to do that just the same.
Okay, let's say I have to take the lead.
The primary steps remain the same. Administer basic first aid and contact emergency services. If you're out at sea, this is likely to be either Dan or the Coast Guard.
How are divers usually evacuated at sea?
It really depends on the situation and the resources at hand. It may be determined that it's best to head the boat back to shore if conditions are favorable and if that's the fastest way to go. If the emergency dictates it and the resources are available, a watercraft rendezvous or an airlift evacuation may be called into action.
So if you have to coordinate an airlift evacuation?
The first thing you'll have to remember is that the coordination itself will likely be done by the authorities. base, whether that's the Coast Guard or the transport Dan arranges. You'll be given instructions on where to be, what steps to take, and what preparations need to be made.
What kind of preparations?
When you're waiting for a helicopter to arrive, you'll need to make sure anything tall that can get in the way is taken down. That may include radar and fishing equipment. The only exception would be equipment that keeps you in contact with the emergency crew, because you'll need to be able to talk to them. Make sure all loose objects are stored so nothing blows around and causes additional injuries.
What about the diver?
Keep the diver as stable as possible. If you're performing CPR, you may not be able to complete the lift, as the time required to complete it is too long an interruption. But assuming the diver is breathing spontaneously on his or her own, keep them quiet and stable, and put them in a personal flotation device. It's strictly a precaution, but an important one. Gather any important medical information as well as anything else, including things like dive profiles and computers, that might be helpful to those providing medical care following the evacuation.
And once the helicopter arrives?
Stay in communication with them and follow their directions. They'll let you know where they need the boat to be, what speed might need to be maintained, and any steps they need you to take.
Who loads the diver into the basket they send down?
In some instances, it might be you. Remember to let the basket touch the deck of the boat before you touch it. A lot of static electricity can be generated as it descends, and it's best to let it discharge first. Move the diver as little as possible as you transfer them into the basket, and once in, secure them, including the oxygen unit and other information you've gathered, and signal the helicopter crew when the basket is ready to raise.
You send the oxygen unit?
Remember that an airlift crew does not perform rescues for divers only, so they may not necessarily have equipment specific to diving injuries. Maybe they have what they needed, maybe not, but it's easy to help on that front.
Will you have to go with them?
That's a conversation to have with a helicopter captain as you're coordinating the rescue. The crew is likely trained in first aid, but if they're unfamiliar with diving injuries, they may agree to have you or some other qualified person come with them. But again, this is a decision for the captain to make, as there are other factors he'll have to take into account. So follow his lead.
Is there anything else we need to know?
Just a reminder that emergency and evacuation protocols should be part of your emergency action plan.
Something I have with me on every dive.
See? You do know what you're doing. I knew it all the time.
We all hope we'll never have to deal with an emergency situation. But in the event you have to oversee one, know what to do. Include evacuation as part of your emergency action plan. And remember that communication is the key. Do that, and you're guaranteed damn good diving.
That was beautiful.
Only you can prevent diving accidents. Divers Alert Network is your dive safety organization. With your support, Dan will continue to provide the research, service, and benefits to make your next dive a safe dive. So don't be a dinghy. Join Dan today by calling 1-800-446-2671.
You know, that's one of my favorite Dan Good Diving safety tips, because very important information shared in that. You should always have an emergency evacuation plan at the ready, especially, you know, when we're doing, you know, as a dive instructor, when you're doing training, like I'm getting ready to do with Patrick and some other friends and family, you know, I got to have a plan in place. I feel very inadequate, or I wasn't doing my job if I didn't have a emergency assistance plan in place. So I better get on that, actually. I'm making a note to myself. Yeah, anyway. So we're going to get into Patrick's progress on his open water quizzes here in just a bit. But we got to give a little shout out to our buddy James, who called up a couple weeks ago. He's had a rough time. Somebody stole his dive gear. But it all is not lost, because he got a nice little settlement from the insurance company. So he's going to get hooked up with some new stuff. So he had proper insurance, and he's going to get it replaced and that kind of thing. But he sent us these little Boy Scout patches. And what does it say on the bill? I gave you yours. He wanted me to bring it into the studio, so Bill actually got one of these as well as I.
I did get it today, but it's a shark. It's a shark.
It's a shark.
But I don't know for sure what it's for.
Well, it's Boy Scouts of America, part of their dive program thing.
They have a shark program?
It has something to do with sharks or fish or something. This is their patch.
What's the big patch?
It says BSA on there, doesn't it?
It does say BSA on there, but I mean, I'm not 100% sure what the program is that it's for. It's not a merit badge.
Well, I think it is.
It's not a merit badge. It's not the size of merit badges. Merit badges are the round things that go on your sash.
Oh, okay.
So there's 50 of them. I've seen them.
Okay, so there's this is like above and beyond.
This is something else. This is another program, probably a high adventure program of some sort, but I don't know exactly what it's for, but it's a very cool looking patch.
Yeah. Well,
it's a sharp looking bat.
Anyone in you and I to have some of the first set of these?
Well, I'm glad.
Because this is a new thing.
To.
Yeah.
Well, you know, a lot of Boy Scouts have those red felt jackets or vests that they use to put patches like this on.
Right. So
you
we've received one. Bill and myself have received one of these patches.
Very cool. We don't
really know what they're for, but we have received one.
We have.
And, you know, hopefully.
We know it's not for model railroading.
Because he is the authority on that.
James Eager.
Yeah. And he's been published. He's a published author now in model railroads. That was his other hobby. Besides diving, he's into model railroads. And I don't know. I printed out a picture. What do you think of that?
Well, I think it looks pretty
what's
sharp.
What's the website?
To be fair, it looks like he is refilming Pacific Rim because he's a lot bigger than the model train.
He has a whole Santa Claus thing going on, too. What's the website?
The website is going to be coming up on the other side of this break.
Okay.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy, and this is why we've added Nanook protective hard cases to our list of products you can now purchase on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. Underwater photographers, listen up. From their high-impact NK7 resin to their exclusive power claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook protective cases cost less than similar products currently on the market. The company has been around for over 15 years, but it's new to the U.S., so we've made a small number of Nanook cases available exclusively for you at a special introductory price on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Go there now and check out Nanook, the evolution of protection.
I'm always the first to run low on air.
I'm adjusting my BCD all the time.
It feels that I spent half my dive swimming back to the dive boat and on the surface.
You can learn to improve your diving so that you can feel more confident with your skills and more comfortable in the water thanks to the Professional Association of Dive Instructors. Peak Performance Buoyancy and the Navigation Specialty Course are just a few of the many PADI offerings to consider. Visit PADI.com to find the PADI Dive Center nearest you. PADI, the way the world learns to dive.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at Scuba Radio.
Is that a moray in your pocket, or are you just happy to see me? As she looked down by my weight belt, it kind of made me blush. Is that a moray in your pocket, or are you just happy to see me? And I have to admit, I got excited a bit when she showed me her octopus.
And welcome back to the World of Boating. Not World of Boating, Scuba Radio. I'm thinking of the World of Boating because Patrick's screaming at me during the commercial break about the Zimmerman trial. He's supposed to be doing his Patty Open Water quizzes, and we got off on this Zimmerman. You know, they're on jury watch. And you can get all the news you want wherever you want to listen to it. But
I've already got everything I need. Thank you. Appreciate it. I'm moving forward.
Bill's not a fan. But, you know, it's right here in our backyard.
I hate breaking news with so much passion.
Do you?
I hate it. It is always wrong.
Breaking news. We have a phone call. And James.
Actually, he knows something that we didn't know at the last time. If you want to find out more information about Model Railroad Hobbyist Magazine.
Yeah.
The HTTP on that is model-railroad-hobbyist.com. So it doesn't look like it's a www. It looks like it's just model-railroad-hobbyist.com.
Okay, does that sound right, James? Or what?
It's close enough, I'm sure. Google will find it if nothing else will.
Yeah. So, I didn't have a chance to actually read the article, but you actually have an article published on how to make model trains. Is that what it was? And this is your other hobby besides diving? Is that what we're talking about here, or what?
Yes, and building that particular train that the photographs on the cover are of.
The city of Miami.
Yeah. Yeah, now, James, I mean this is a compliment, but you do look rather large on that website.
Well, the model's not an actual train. The trains are smaller. I mean, if you think it's an actual train, he looks to be about 27 feet tall.
Well, maybe. But, you know, actually what jumped out at me, I thought, is this like a holiday presentation? Because you got this whole Santa Claus thing going on.
I think his hair's blonde, not gray.
What do you think there, James? No? Yes?
As long as it doesn't break your monitor.
There you go. All right. As long as it makes you jolly and happy and that kind of thing. So there, you can check that out if you like. And the patches from the Boy Scouts of America, what's going on?
I've done some research during the break. Can I, and James, you stop me if I'm wrong. This is one of two patches that they have available for Seabase, which is down in the Keys.
Right.
Which is a high adventure Boy Scout base.
Yeah.
And it's one of the two patches which you can wear on, you know, something other than your uniform.
Right.
It's something which you wear as an accessory. Because you got to go to this high adventure place. They have high adventure places all over the country.
But Seabase is like summer camp for divers, right? Isn't that the place, James?
And they do some sailing, and they do several other things. But they have 5 dive boats there that they run all summer long.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, at this moment, we have 2 mermaids in training as some of the dive instructors there at Seabase. I'm not really supposed to say that out loud because, you know. But I don't know if there's a patch for that, but maybe we ought to make one.
I think so.
Yeah. But this shark one that you gave us, is it
awesome.
It's not for any particular activity. It's just for the fact that they did Seabase?
You're supposed to wear it on the jacket if you've attended Seabase, but there's no real rule that says you can't just wear it on something else.
Okay. What about for me and Bill? What would it mean if we put it on? That
it means that you like sharks.
Means that we like Boy Scouts?
Sharks.
Oh, okay.
He said sharks.
Good. And I thought, oh, great. That's all we need.
Although I know a number of Boy Scouts who I like. I think they're good guys.
Be careful, Bill.
I'm just saying.
Just saying.
You can't hate children and be involved in Boy Scouts. That's just not possible.
Okay. Yeah, that's true. I agree. Well, James, thank you for the patches. We appreciate it. I know you're getting ready to purchase that dive gear, right?
It started yesterday. I got myself a new pair of dive boots.
New pair of dive boots.
Starting from the bottom, working up. That's smart thinking.
Okay, yeah.
It's nice to have a strategic way to approach it.
As you should, right? Size what?
Bring me back having a full snorkeling setup at least.
Okay. What size booties did you have to get? Because I think he has rather large feet, if I remember.
Special order boots from Scuba Pro.
Special order, but you won't say the size. Well, what
12.
Is 12? So, well, that's just a real foot. What's wrong with that? That's not. Why did you have to special order a size 12?
Scuba Pro 12s run larger. They're actually closer to 13s.
Okay, so you're really a 13, but you have to order 12s. I got you. One of those type of deals. Understood. Okay. Well, we'll cover your progress, and we're going to see if we can't help him out because some of the stuff he needs, he was very particular about the gear that he dives with.
Next stop, knee pads.
Knee pads? You're working your way up like that.
That's how I was going to say. So you start with the booties, then knee pads.
I didn't know that was part
shorty,
of.
Then a shorty.
Does that explain
then a
why?
Mask and fins.
That explains why he got such a big payoff from the insurance company.
Exactly.
Is that how it worked, James?
Something like that. Although the knee pads, I think I may still have some.
Okay. All right.
He does masonry work.
The Booglers didn't get his knee pads. So, yeah, go figure. All right, James. Well, thanks for the update, bud. We appreciate it. Okay. All right. There you go. So, you know, models, trains, buying new dive gear. He's living large right now.
It appears that he's large because the train is not actual size.
He does. He kind of looks like Mantra or Mothra or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
I understand
in that
the
picture.
Pacific Rim connection there because he's so much larger than the train, but he's not actually larger than a train. He's larger than a model train.
Yeah. All right. Well, hey, we're almost ready for lobster season, by the way. Did you know this, Bill?
I knew it was coming.
It's last Wednesday and Thursday of July, and we got a little story, or I should say big story, about some monster lobster being caught right now up north. Will that translate into Florida spiny lobster season? We'll talk about it in an hour or two. Plus, find out about the dive called Firehole. That sounds like an adventure-type dive, you think? Well, you'll hear about that and much, much more right here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Stay close.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated. Scuba
Radio. This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.